truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Now, they're not hearing anything else. And the memory that comes to my mind.
Hello?
Yes, is this Richard?
Yes, it is.
Okay, how long has the six-year-old been missing?
When I made the phone call, we had finished our conversation setting up.
And Cameron, speaking of influence, we do have an update involving a talk show host, Rush Limbaugh.
You have been tweeting me.
Well, I hope you knew to use a condom.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show, the groundbreaking Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, a trip through the looking glass of talk radio here every night. And this hour, we are very happy to welcome on the program Mr. Vernon Dozier. Mr. Dozier is an educator and an educator of high school students. He is with Belmar Academy. This is a private academy in Glendale, California, and it's a place where obviously people who've got money get to send their kids. But Mr. Dozier has been on the board of directors. He's been an administrator there. He is also the high school football coach there and teaches health and science to the seniors. And he joins us tonight to talk about the Balloon Boy story as it has come to be known. And Vernon, Mr. Dozier, thank you for joining us this evening.
Well, it's my pleasure, Phil. I appreciate you having me on your program.
And thank you for a return visit here on this. We talk an awful lot about young people, and I know that you are obviously intimately involved with the world of young people every day as a teacher. But this is a very, very young boy and a rather unusual family, isn't it?
Well, I think that if you do the kind of work that I do, you come to realize that all families are different. I wouldn't call any family unusual per se. I will say that there are different dynamics that you have to take into consideration. The reason why this story has captured my interest and my the interest, I think, of a great many teachers around the country is because we do deal with young people who I think at times can be a little manipulative or at times can be a little bit underhanded in their dealings with adults so that they can get what they want. And I think ultimately you blame the parents for spoiling the children. And you go to them as the source of this problem. But the child himself or herself can be the problem. Now, this story of this child that allegedly had climbed into this hot air balloon that the family had tethered in there onto the back property of their home, at first glance it looks like it's a child that's been endangered. But I can tell you that dealing with young people, they have a way of manipulating you.
All right, well, let's talk about your experience with that. But first, we have this audio that you wanted me to play because you want to point a couple of things out, right?
Yeah, this was part of an interview that I heard given by the family, and this was this morning on the, I think on Good Morning America or one of these shows, this child, this Falcon Heaney, is the child. Now, this kid is, I guess, about 6 or 7 years old, but right here, if you listen very carefully, you're going to hear the child get sick. This is a very classic way of manipulating adults, and so I'd like you to hear this.
All right, let's listen now. This is Falcon Heaney, and this is this poor boy. He's getting sick on the Good Morning America show. Here it is.
You okay there?
Mm-hmm.
You sure?
He's extremely tired.
Quite awake.
No, Mom, I feel like I'm going to vomit.
Oh.
You okay, buddy?
Yeah, right here. You going to hear this thing?
Yes, sir.
Oh. Yeah, I think he's queasy. Should we take you to the bathroom or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool. Good, buddy.
Yeah.
There's a wire here on him.
Is he okay? Is somebody going to go with him? Mayumi, do you want to run with him? That's okay. We'll
is
understand.
That okay?
Sure.
Okay.
We understand.
Thank you.
Is he okay, Richard?
Is he?
Well, he's got asthma, and sometimes when he starts to get an attack, he feels queasy.
Oh.
Maybe that's what's going on. It's not sounding good in there.
That's the father, my understanding. That's Richard Heaney. That's the little boy. Now, you can hear the beginning steps of this child who doesn't want to answer any specific questions. And it is my opinion.
Are you saying that child is faking somehow that sickness?
I believe so. I've seen this happen before. It seems very obvious to me. A person has a very distinct sound, Phil, when they vomit, when they aspirate, and that is the sound of someone coughing. That was not the sound of someone vomiting. Here is Diane Sawyer. Now, I think this next clip is Diane Sawyer interviewing one of the other children, and you can hear this very, very obvious vomiting going on in the background. I guess you could call this a case of overacting a little bit. So let's listen to this.
It's Mommy.
Well, let me just ask a couple of questions. Brad, right. And Rio, did you also think it was for a show?
No.
No, you were... Were you scared?
When Becky went up in the saucer, or...
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that is so fake.
We're really scared.
All right, hold on for a minute.
And did you know that Falcon sometimes hid up in the attic of the garage? Brad?
No. I didn't even know he could go up there.
Yeah, we had no idea that he had a secret hiding place. Are you okay?
Are you okay, Saggy?
I've vomited three times.
Oh, man, I heard you in there.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what was that question?
What did you see when you looked at that?
Okay, what do you hear there?
Well, I think you can hear very clearly that the child is doing his very best to make it sound as if he's being sick. And it sounds extremely obvious, and the conciliatory and manner of the father and everyone want to know if he's okay. I think this is something that it quite obviously is put on by this young person, and it is being put on by this young person to make it seem like he's playing the game a little bit here. But here again, he has his father and his mother under his thumb.
Well, how do you know that the parents are not putting him up to this?
Well, let's play this one more piece of audio, and I'll get to your question about that. Here is... on the Today Show, this is really good. Meredith Vieira, who is talking to this child who vomits live on TV now. And she just keeps right on asking questions as if she didn't even see. And this is the courage of this reporter, that she went ahead and she wasn't buying into this kid's act at all. He simulates vomiting, and she's not buying it. She keeps on asking the questions. She's not going to be sidetracked.
One of the guys told me it was for some...
Mom...
One of the guys told me it was for some TV show. So that's what he was referring to. That's what he was referring to when he made that statement.
And I know I want to point out that the sheriff's office said last night that they believe your account of what happened, but they do want to question you a little bit more today, Richard, as well. And I'm sure some of the questions will be hard for you to deal with. So let me just ask you right now. Just put it out there and get your honest answer. Was this a hoax or a publicity stunt?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And now I'm starting to get a little ticked off because I'm repetitively getting asked this in the last couple of interviews. And what have I got to gain out of this? And I'm not selling
right there,
anything. I'm not advertising anything.
All right, so that is the audio. At least that is the audio that we've got. And on the line with me again here is... Mr. Vernon Dozier, so what did you hear there? You heard the vomiting of that child, and you are saying that is put on?
Let me tell you what is going on here, because, as I said, I've been around children a long time. This is a child that has manipulated this. This is a child that has essentially manipulated this event so that he can get himself on television. So that he can...
You're telling me that this entire thing was inspired by the child.
I'm saying that this child was fooling around with this hot air balloon. It got loose. And he didn't want to be blamed. The parents said to him that you got into this hot air balloon or otherwise caused this thing to be untethered. And the child said, no, I did not. And you're going to tell the media that.
How does a child do that?
A child can do that in any number of ways. I've been an educator for a long time, and forgive me, but I've seen teenage girls who come into the classroom, and they've got on their, short skirts and all of this, and they expect to get a good grade. And and I'm not going to give them a good grade just because they're showing me. What they got or whatever you want to call it. See, this is the way a kid is going to try to manipulate you. And this kid has got his parents making up all of these stories, see, about the hot air balloon, about how it got loose, about how he hid, and the poor little boy is thrown up. And the reason why they are going along with this story is because I'm sure you can imagine a child that age can do a lot of damage.
Well, what do you mean? How does a six-year-old child, see what I'm trying to find out here, how does a six-year-old child force his parents into concocting some story about a balloon getting loose?
Well, let me explain it to you this way, Mr. Hendry. And I hate to put it this way, but you know as well as I do that a kid who is wired the wrong way, who is bent, who is not a normal kid, but is prone to a criminal mind, even at the age of six, can simply say to his parents, you know, if you don't do what I tell you to do, I can tell the policeman that you touch me in a place where I, the way a child would put it, you touch me where I go to the bathroom or something like that.
You're telling me that this six-year-old boy, this little boy, you're attributing to him this motivation? And what is he getting out of this?
I don't know. I think it probably is the fun of being on television. I think it's the fun of trying to get a reality show, but he gets to call the shots. I don't think there's any adult that seriously would consider this, but I think that's the family dynamic here. I think these people in this family are so... There is something so wrong with these people that they allow a child, and people are quick to blame the father. They're saying he's leading this hoax. But it's this Falcon child, and I feel sorry for this father, this Stephen, because this Richard, or what, I don't know what his name is. I'm sorry.
I think it's Richard.
All right. I feel sorry for this man. He doesn't look like he's had a lot of sleep. He looks like he's trying to come up with the right answer so he doesn't anger this obviously very, very... a disturbed child, so he doesn't have this child running off to the authorities saying that he got touched in a private area or something. And I think it's a very disturbing story. But I would again caution people not to blame the father or blame the mother, because the origination of this story, I think, is probably laying with these children. Richard is the victim here. Falcon is the puppeteer. Richard is...
All right, hold on. Richard the father,
yes.
Is the victim here, and Falcon, the son...
Falcon Heaney, in my opinion, is the puppeteer. He is pulling the strings on this. He is basically saying... he's pulling his father aside and telling him, you go along with this, you know what happens.
You're attributing some pretty adult motivation. You know, this is basically like a bad seed thing here, man, because the other night we were talking about...
That's exactly what it is.
Well, the other night we were talking about the bad seed when it had to do with another story. I forget what it was. I think it was the kid who came to school with the...
It was the fold-out knife.
Yes, the kid, the zero tolerance.
Exactly. You've got kids, and I'm not saying this about most kids, but you got kids, and I've seen this in my own class when these girls, I told you, these girls come in, they got on these skirts that go all the way up to here, and they think they're going to get an A just because they're, you know, giving you a look, or however they put it. I don't look. I shield my eyes, but I can tell you that these kids are increasingly victimizing the parents, not the other way around. And this Falcon, I see a kid who has orchestrated this whole thing. You can see how beat up his father looks. You can see how worn down his family looks. You can see this Falcon kid, even though he's throwing up on TV, he looks as happy as a kid could possibly look. He's giddy, he's lighthearted, he's dancing around, and then all of a sudden he pukes. I don't buy it.
All right, we are talking here with Vernon Dozier. He's a high school educator, about the boy in the balloon story, and he has basically said to us here in this last quarter hour, as an educator, he feels that the real manipulator here is this Falcon kid, not the father. The father, Mr. Heaney, is being manipulated by the child, and that the father is the victim here, being made to look like he's the abuser, when in fact, this little boy, for his own amusement, perhaps, or for other reasons, has orchestrated this whole thing. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with more conversation here with high school educator Vernon Dozier on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I got a cup of Hawaiian punch or anything?
Do we have any Hawaiian punch?
Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL. We're talking here with Vernon Dozier about the boy in the balloon story. And Mr. Dozier is a high school educator and has worked with kids. You're saying that it is entirely not just possible but probable that this entire thing has been manipulated by the children, not the parents. And you went so far as to say...
I do believe that, Phil, yes.
You went so far as to say that the father, Richard, is the victim.
Well, let me tell you, Phil, I've seen this coming all my career because I work with children. I work with young people. I mean, I've had students say to me, and I've had this happen to me, you're going to give me an A on this test, or you know what's up, you know. And I'll say, I don't know what you're talking about, and say, you touched me down here. And they'll point to their... I had a male student do that. Now, that... I hope you were never in a position, Mr. Hendry, if you're a school teacher. It's one thing when a young lady says, I'll tell the teacher, you know, I'll tell the administrator that you try to grab, you know, get your hand on it. And that's one thing. But if you have a male student say, if I don't get an A...
Don't you go to the administrators and report this?
Oh, you do, yeah. Then the kid denies it, and pretty much what happens is the whole thing is, you know, you shake hands, and it's just a big misunderstanding.
How can that be a misunderstanding?
What's that?
I don't understand. The kid said, unless you give me an A, I'm going to tell them that you molested me, basically, right?
That's correct, yeah.
So you go to the administration, and you say, this student has threatened me with this kind of thing, and you say nothing comes of it?
They generally, you sit down and talk to the kid, and the whole thing's a misunderstanding. You shake hands.
And what do you mean you shake hands? It's a misunderstanding. To me, that sounds like a direct threat.
You don't understand the world that teachers are living in, and you don't understand the world that parents are living in. When you got a little kid that is watching reality shows on TV morning, noon, and night, and he wants to be on television, and if you've got a kid whose wiring is wrong, he is going to manipulate his parents. I saw that child vomit. That wasn't vomit. If you ever saw any kind of the magic show or the things that they do, some of these magic deals, you can get a can of cream of chicken soup, hide it in your jacket, and pour it out, and it looks like it's coming out of your stomach. You know, it looks like it's all what was ever. And I called up the producers of that show when I saw that on the Today Show, and I saw how courageous Meredith Vieira was ignoring this punk, and excuse my language, but this child trying to make it look like he was throwing up. And I said to the producers, I said, I'm telling you right now that that is not vomit, that's cream of chicken soup. And they tried to hang up on me. I said, before you hang up, I'll tell you this right now. I will fly at my own expense to New York. You leave it there in a puddle on the floor. Leave it there. Leave it there. And I will fly to New York at my own expense, and I'll get down on my hands and knees, and I'll lick that off the ground. That's how sure I am it's not vomit.
Well, were you serious?
If they wanted me to do it, I'd do it. I mean, the point that I'm trying to make here is this child has got everybody, they don't know whether they're coming or going, because the kid wants to be on television. He's got his father.
How do you, again, you have not convinced me that the father isn't the instigator of this. How do you know it isn't the father?
The father doesn't look like he's had a night's sleep. It doesn't look like this man has had a moment's peace. The little boy is laughing and happy, and he's throwing up. The little boy is frightened to death about getting beat to death because of a balloon. That's the thing right there, see? He says, I was afraid. Why? Because he wants everybody to believe that his old man would beat him bloody. And only for the cops and the TV show and everything did his old man not beat him bloody. That's what they want. That's what he wants people to believe.
So this little boy said he hid because...
Because he wanted people to believe that his father, once he found him, would beat him. I mean, I hate to say worse than that... Passion of the Christ movie. I don't know if you ever saw what they did to that guy. But
are you talking about Mel Gibson's movie?
Yes, sir.
What they did to that guy? You mean Jesus?
Well, yes, sir. But that's what I'm saying. But did you see what you saw that part, right?
Yeah, I saw that part. The scourging of Jesus. Yes.
That's what this kid is trying to make them believe his old man's going to do to him.
All right. I think some of your comparisons and some of your imagery is a little bizarre. We're going to get back here with Vernon Dozier, a high school educator, talking about. This little boy, this little Falcon Heaney, he's the one manipulating this. The father's the victim. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL here with Vernon Dozier from Belmar Academy in Glendale, California. I guess we're going to ask you, Vernon, tell me a little bit about Belmar. It's a private school.
Oh, yeah, that is correct, Phil. Belmar Academy is a private college preparatory school in the San Gabriel Valley, and we have a student body of some 523 students. I am primarily involved with the seniors and with the upperclassmen. Again, we are privately a Roman Catholic school, although we take all denominations of young people. I read a story like this, it makes me glad I'm not teaching elementary school anymore, I tell you that.
Have you? Did you teach elementary school?
Oh, I did early in my career, yeah. And, you know, I've seen all kinds of very, very disturbed children. But this one takes the case. It takes the cake, this kid, because, you know, the father, again, this kid Falcon is the puppeteer. And he is manipulating the family, and I think in a very, very destructive way.
All right. What is the end game for this child? Well, you know what? I'll take a phone call here, but I want to know what the end game for this child is.
Well, the end game is he wants to be on television. I mean, he sees what happened to the Osbournes. He sees what's happening to the Kate Plus 8 and all of these. He sees what's happening to all these other kids. He wants some of that, too. He wants some of that, too. And he's going to get it, and all he has to do is look at his dad and say, if you tell people what I'm doing, all I got to do is say, you touch me here, you know, point to it.
Point to it.
Well, you know what I mean. Point at where, you know, he'll say what he's going to say to the police.
877-876-PHIL.
I think this kid wants a reality show, and he wants the syndication money that comes with it.
I think you're attributing some pretty sophisticated...
Look, I know these kids. I've had it pulled on me. I've had it, but I told you, I had one kid say, if I didn't give him an A...
Yeah, he was going to go to the administration and say you molested him.
And it was a male student. Now, that's a double humiliation. First of all, it's a lie. Second of all, like I'm going to want to touch some guy, that's pretty sick.
And well, you're talking about a kid, so I don't think it much matters what the gender is here. Let's go to Chris in Chattanooga. Chris, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. What's going on tonight?
I just have my own theory about what happened with old Balloon Boy.
Yes, sir.
I believe that when he said it was for the show, what he was talking about was not a publicity stunt or for some reality show. It was for a video that his dad was producing to try and sell this balloon because he was an amateur scientist and a tornado chaser and all that. And when the balloon got loose, he knew he was in trouble, so he ran and hid.
Well, that's what he's telling the press, yeah, and that's what he told the police. So he looks like the victim, and the father is this guy that wants the family to be in showbiz. But I've worked with enough of these kids that are very disturbed. They're psychopathic, even at that age. Believe it or not, they can be very manipulative and try to, get what they need, what they want, because it's all about them. You know, a psychopath, it's all about them, and they want power. And I think that this Falcon wants power over his family and over the media. And then he ran away and hid to make it sound like his father was going to beat him worse than they did on that movie that I was telling Phil about. I don't want to say who it is.
Well, you're talking about the Passions of the Christ. That's got nothing to do with it.
Well, but I'm saying, what is your name, sir? Chris?
Yes.
Yeah. Did you ever see that film, Passion of the Jesus Christ? Did you see that film, sir?
No, I've not seen it.
Well, they beat up on Jesus, who is the main, he's the main person in the story. They beat up on him pretty good.
You're talking about the scourging of Jesus.
Yes, sir. And I'm saying that this boy was trying to communicate to the public that his father was going to beat him the way the Romans did that Jesus man.
Well, that's, you know, this is why I'm saying you are attributing to this child some pretty nefarious, what Chris just said here sounds like it makes more sense because, you know.
Of course it sounds like it makes more sense. That's what the kid wants you to believe. You guys need to approach this a whole different way. You got to see it my way, because I've been around these kids and I know how dangerous they are and I know what they can do. If he, Chris, did you see this kid throw up on TV?
No, I didn't see that.
Okay. That's about as fake as it gets. If that wasn't cream of mushroom soup, then I'm a gone mother lover, you know, I'll tell you that. I'm a mother jockey if that wasn't cream of mushroom soup.
Well, to me, and I know you've been an educator. Chris, thank you so much for your phone call. I know you've been an educator, and I understand that you claim to understand kids. But in my opinion,
I don't claim to understand kids. I do understand kids. I've been on the business end. I've been on the business end of a kid trying to get over on me. I've been on the business end of a kid pointing at it and saying, I get an A, or you've been there.
Well, you know,
You look at Mr. Andrew, you are a talk show host. The people that are listening to your program, they do whatever they do. You don't know what I know and what other teachers know.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Trevor in Mesa, Arizona. Trevor, you're on a Phil Hendry show. What can we do for you, sir?
Hi. Just to me, it's kind of odd, kind of opposing the current argument, that a six-year-old kid has the capability of manipulating two adults that are very, very capable of behaving according to their own needs. It sounds more to me like the book by Orson Scott Card. Huh?
You've heard about kids saying, I'm going to go tell that you touched me, and it's not true. You've heard about that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Why can't this kid be doing the same thing?
Yeah, but what but the reason why you're saying he's doing it is because
because he wants to be on TV. Hello, what kid doesn't?
That's what doesn't make sense to me. It sounds like, you know, if you've read the book by Orson Scott Card, Ender's Game. I mean, these are kids that are fictionally amazing. They're just super kids. And kids these days, they're smart, but they're not that capable of doing something so destructive.
What book is this? Is this a book you wrote?
No, it's a book by Orson Scott Card, Ender's Game.
I don't understand. Is it about a kid that tries to
take his
old man down? Yeah.
Really smart, and he actually has a brother that manipulates his parents and makes them believe that his brother isn't being hurt by him. So, I mean, it's the same thing, but it's ridiculous, and it's a fictional book.
But Ray Bradbury wrote a very interesting story once called The Small Assassin. I don't know if you've ever read it, but this was an infant baby that murdered both of its parents.
Okay.
Well, all right, so what you tell me? That's better than the story he's just talking about.
But they're both fiction. They're both fiction. They're both created out of whole cloth by the authors.
Well, then why does this gentleman get to... Yeah, but why do you get to bring up your book, and you're making your point, but I don't get to make mine?
No, he's saying that in both instances, whether it's Ray Bradbury or this other guy, whoever that author was, Trevor, they're made up, that a child doesn't have that kind of ability. A child cannot manipulate two adults so that they are in fear of their lives or reputations.
So if a kid comes up to you and says, I don't get an A, you've been touching me right here, and he basically has on a red glove, so you can't miss it.
For one thing, I mean, obviously a private school is probably different. The kids might have a feel that they can get a little more controlling. That's a lot
right.
of the times it's true.
That's a very good point.
And
this is a college prep school.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well,
go ahead, Trevor.
And so, I mean, as a teacher, maybe you feel a little bit more oppressed that way, but as a teacher, you have all the power. You can't let that happen to you. Exactly what a parent is like as a teacher for their child. They can't allow themselves to be manipulated by a child, let alone a 6-year-old child. Maybe
I agree
maybe,
with you.
You know, an 18-year-old, 17-year-old student, maybe. That makes a little more sense. But
well, what do you think about that? You remember the Melendez brothers? What did they do? Those are two kids. Guess what they did? I'll tell you what they did. They blew both of their parents' heads off. Now, that shows you what a kid's capable of.
But you're not listening to the caller. The man is saying 6-year-old kid is different from a 17-year-old.
When you have a high school student walk into your classroom wearing a red glove so you can't miss it, and they say to you, I get an A on that term paper, or you've been here, and he's pointing, and I don't have to tell you where.
What do you mean a red glove?
That's what they do. They go out to a five and dime or something and pick up a red glove so you can't miss it.
Well, I don't understand.
We circle around to the same point. We're talking about high school students. We're talking about...
Exactly, exactly. We're talking about a six-year-old boy. Listen, Trevor, thank you so much for your call, and I appreciate it very...
I want to ask the gentleman, what is the name of that book again, Trevor, that's...
It's
Orson.
Called Ender's Game.
Yeah.
And it's written by Orson Scott Card.
You know what? Oh, I thought you said it was Ray Bradbury.
No, that was the story you were talking about.
Oh, yeah, that's the one that I want to read. Well, not that I want to read, but the one that I wanted to... You wouldn't let me bring that up.
What are you talking about, man?
This guy was talking about Orson Welles or something, who's a Republican, by the way, so I don't know why I'm supposed to trust his novels.
What? First of all, Orson Scott Card is the guy's name.
Forgive me, I'm sorry. Orson Scott Card.
And what being a Republican's got to do with it? My point is this. Your story, his story, made up. Okay, not real, not true, so it's got nothing to do with what we're talking about.
But in the Ray Bradbury story, a baby butchered up his two parents.
No, he didn't. I read the story. He trips the... he didn't butcher anybody up, okay?
One of the parents got butchered alive by this baby. Am I right or wrong?
You're wrong. You're wrong.
If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Jesus, make a big deal out of it.
Well, you know, sir, you're the one, Vernon, who's been on this program making the claim... that this kid is manipulating parents so that they will get him on television. And I think that's a pretty substantial charge. And if you're going to bring up Ray Bradbury to substantiate what you're saying from a fictional short story that I, by the way, have read, I think you're, you know, barking up the wrong tree. Let's go to Jeff in Nashville. Jeff, you're on the Phil Henry Show. What's going on tonight?
Hey, I've got a daughter that absolutely manipulates everything my wife does. She's like a puppet. It blows my mind. We've been in counseling over this. It's been going on about 4 or 5 years. It's hard to correct. It's very hard to correct. She will actually...
Has she ever said, you know, Daddy, if you don't do this, I'm going to tell everybody you touch me.
No. We sent her to a Christian school. Things have been good up until I decided I wasn't going to pay for this and I wasn't going to pay for that. And, I bought the first car. I'm not buying the second car. I did 4 years of college. I said, I'm not doing the fifth for her bachelor's.
Let me ask you a question, because you say she manipulates your wife. Now, has she ever said, to your knowledge, Jeff, has she ever said to your wife, I'm telling Daddy that you touched my toilet area or something like that, if you don't buy me a Barbie doll or something like that?
Oh, my God.
No. I don't...
You don't know that. Have you questioned your wife? Have you questioned your wife on this?
I don't have any question at all. The biggest thing is she...
Well, what do you mean she's... What is she manipulating? Yeah.
Well, she's like a puppet. In other words, if me and my wife are in the bedroom, she will beat the door down. I need you now. 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago, we went to Florida on a vacation. We was down there 2 days, and me and my wife, and she called, and she says, you know what? You got to come home now. I need you.
How old is this? How old is this baby?
23 years old, and she is supposed to be getting married. She is so immature, it blows my mind.
All right, but so that's what I'm saying, see? Those are the ones. They'll walk into the room. They're wearing some kind of a, you know, little skirt.
That's the guy's daughter.
Yes.
Well, I mean, the same thing.
Your daughter's never said,
I'm going to tell Mom that you took a peek.
Okay, I don't.
All right.
Hopefully, she's moved out. She's still living at home. Good thing to do is to kick her out. That way, it'll never happen. But I'm trying to say that your daughter is capable of manipulating you into murderous, even criminal acts. And that's the thing we all have to be careful of. You look at this father on TV, he looks like one of those people on that Twilight Zone, if you ever seen it, where the little boy could turn people into, you know, ghouls and everything if they didn't do what he wanted. So that's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at a little boy who's probably got a family in much the same way, not the same kind of fantastical circumstance, but he's got these people so frightened that they sit around making peanut butter sandwiches and watching cartoons.
Yeah, I believe that.
All right, yes. Yeah, okay.
Able to manipulate. I understand that. I think that they can.
They really do. Little children can, but to the extent that you're talking, Vernon, I don't know. Here is Carlton in North Carolina. Carlton, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. What's going on tonight?
Yes, sir. I was hearing what you guys were talking about on the radio show about children manipulating their parents.
Exactly. This little boy that had the balloon ride, yeah.
Okay, well, what happened to the old-fashioned discipline of spanking a child to show them that they're not adult?
You can't do that, son. You can't. See, that's how the little boy's manipulating his father. He's telling the old man, if you, you know, don't do as I tell you to do, I'll tell them that you beat me bloody. You beat me worse than Chuck Wepner got. You know, if you ever seen how Chuck Wepner took it from Muhammad Ali.
Okay.
And so the father is scared, and he won't go to the, he won't say this child, the kid has got us terrified, because the kid will say, yeah, he, you know, he's going to beat me bad the same way they did for that. Well, I don't want to say it. Mr. Henry doesn't want me bringing up the movie, but that guy that they beat up.
You're bringing up Jesus Christ. You know, we don't have to go to the scourging of Jesus. I understand what you're saying.
All right.
I had an experience a while back.
He's going to touch me on my butt or something like that.
Okay, well, when one of my kids were smaller, they had gotten bruises on their shin bone.
What time you got?
You know, because they were clumsy when they were trying to you know, first walk. And the social service...
Hold on, are you listening to the gentleman?
Yeah, I'm... Go ahead.
The social service got involved in it, and the day that I had to go to court, the child was cutting up in the courtroom. And I spanked her in the courtroom.
And they had said that you had already beat this kid in private, or what? How'd that happen?
Well, it was
just
in private.
Right, but you use corporal punishment. You believe in corporal punishment.
Well, you're asking for it there. You lay a hand on a kid today, and the police won't do anything about it. The police will probably sympathize with you. But if you lay a hand on a child today, the child himself will take revenge. The child. This is what I'm trying to tell you, Phil. It isn't about what the cops are going to do. The child himself will take a kind of revenge that you can only read about in books. You can only see in a movie. And I can't... The only thing that works on kids like Falcon, and I will say this, and this other gentleman almost said it for me, it's a sucker punch. That is, it won't put you in jail if the kid doesn't see it coming.
What are you talking about, a sucker punch?
I mean... where he doesn't see it coming, and you bring a roundhouse right, and the kid's like, Jesus, what was that? And he's laid out. He's laid out cold, you know. If he was in a fight, in a prize ring, they'd be, you know, 7, 8, 9, go to a neutral corner. See, but...
All right, thank you. Hold on. Thank you or hold on. I don't know which. Okay?
Hold what?
Hold on. 877-876, Phil, world famous. Phil Hendry Show. Vernon Dozier on... Falcon Heaney manipulating his father, not the other way around, so he can get on television.
What about that sucker punch?
Oh, yeah.
Phil Hendry.
Ow.
The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Time now for our Loon Alert. Here's where it really gets loony. We can talk about mass murderers, serial killers, guys that keep people locked in dungeons, but get a load of what's going on in Spokane, Washington. The quest for squeaky clean dishes has turned some law-abiding people in Spokane into dishwater detergent smugglers. They're bringing Cascade or Electrosol in from out of state because the eco-friendly varieties required under Washington state law leave your plates greasy and they stink to high heaven. Spokane County became the launchpad last July for the nation's strictest ban on dishwater detergent made with phosphates, a measure aimed at reducing water pollution. Okay. Now, a ban will be expanded statewide in July 2010, the same time similar laws take effect in several other states. All right. But it's not easy to get sparkling dishes when you go green. Going green means your dishes are green, your teeth are green. Why, hell, maybe even the crotch of your pants turns green, even though it was clean before you put it in the, washing machine. Many people were shocked to find that products like 7th Generation, Ecover, and Trader Joe's left their dishes encrusted with food, smeared with grease, and too gross to use without rewashing them by hand or taking a chisel to them. The culprit was hard water, which is mineral-rich and resistant to soap. As a result, there's been a quiet rush of Spokane-area shoppers heading east on Interstate 90 into Idaho to search for those old-time suds, baby. So you cats up in Washington, man, you better call out the gendarme and start stopping people at the border. They're coming in with Tide and Glad and, and Gay and Fun and Fine and all those other good detergents. What's the one that I used to use all the time?
I think you used, Zest or something.
Zest, man. That's soap you use on your body.
Well, I don't know.
Go to TalkRadioNetwork.com for more information.